I have a question for you today. What's the foundation upon which you've built your life? Is it financial security? Maybe the power that you've accumulated? Or is it the Lord? When the foundations of society are weak or begin to crumble away, we as God's people should not despair. We are the only people on this planet that have a true foundation for life and hope. Today on The Wisdom Journey, Stephen has a lesson for you called How to Respond When the Foundations Are Removed.
Many years ago, the veterans of foreign wars put up a cross far out in the Mojave Desert. It would serve as a memorial to soldiers killed during World War I. Well, in 2001, a former state employee sued the government, demanded that that cross be removed. And in the meantime, a judge, you know, tried to pacify the people that had gotten all riled up with this fella and ordered that that cross be covered with a plywood box. It ended up sort of looking like a billboard instead of a cross. But that evidently wasn't good enough for these people. When the Supreme Court finally ruled by just one vote that this little white cross could stay out there where it was, somebody still went out there and cut the mounting bolts and stole that cross away. I couldn't help but think, even out there in the Mojave Desert, where almost no one ever saw it, that cross, you know, it just had to go. As a believer, what do you do when your culture wants to remove the foundation of our faith? How do you respond in a world that wants to erase from public view any foundational reminder or truth about God? Well, have you ever thought about the fact that this question was actually asked by King David back in Psalm 11 and Psalm chapter 12? In fact, he handed these poems to the choir director because he wanted them arranged musically so that everybody would know the question that's being asked and the answer here in this song. His question appears now in verse 3 of Psalm chapter 11. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, let me tell you ahead of time, the crumbling sandstone foundations of man's opinions have underneath them granite foundations of God's sovereign plans. Now, we don't know the exact context of this psalm. We don't know what David was specifically referring to here. But from verses 1 and 2, we get the idea that this was a time of trouble for David and his nation. It probably relates to some kind of foundation in society being destroyed, or at least attempted to be destroyed, by evil people. And David is asking, okay, if the foundations are destroyed or they're beginning to crumble, what can the righteous person do? Now, David is going to answer that question. And let me tell you, it won't necessarily change your culture, but it will encourage your heart. And it's going to encourage your heart in the midst of a corrupt culture. Now, let me summarize David's poetic answer with five statements, and we'll work our way through this psalm as we deliver all five. The first one is this: God is totally undisturbed in his sovereignty. David says here in verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. The Lord's heavenly throne. Now, when you're living in circumstances where it seems like everything is falling apart, Your faithfulness has everything to do with your focus. And David's going to talk about that. Do you concentrate on the crumbling foundations around you? Or do you concentrate on the granite foundation of God's throne, the undisturbed rule of God? Beloved, let me remind you, God is never unsettled. He's never going to be unseated. So yes, you can look around and say, oh my, look at that. I need to pray about that. That's tragic. That's so disappointing. Don't stay there. Make sure you look up and say, well, look there in heaven. God is still on his throne. Secondly, not only is God totally undisturbed in his sovereignty, God is totally aware of his creation. David writes further here in verse 4, his eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. That's another way of saying God is not sleeping. God sees. Now, if you look down a little bit in Psalm 12, we're given additional context. David is describing the situation in greater detail. Everybody seems to be lying. Here in verse 2, people are plundering the poor. Verse 5, the wicked are prowling around. Their vile behavior is being applauded by everybody else. Verse 8, David says, God, are you aware of all of this corrupt tragedy? Oh, yes, God is aware. This reference here in Psalm 11 and verse 4 to God's eyelids testing men, that's a figure of speech in the Hebrew language for somebody squinting to see closely. So David is saying God not only sees what's going on, he not only sees people, he's taking a very close look at them. He's scrutinizing them. So here's the third answer from David. God is totally just in his rejection of the unrepentant. In fact, he says here in verse 5, God's soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. The word hate here carries the idea of rejection. God has rejected the unrepentant sinner. Why? Because of their lives, their actions, their defiance, their rejection of God. Yes, God loves the world, but not at the expense of his justice. In fact, think about that the next time you're around your unbelieving family or unbelieving friends or coworkers or neighbors. They're heading toward the judgment of God. God will act justly in the future. Fourth, David informs us here that God is terrifying in his judgment. Verse 6 says, let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. It's interesting, one biblical archaeologist who studied the cities of the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah found physical evidence of an eruption of petroleum. Seems that God sent burning showers of ignited gas and oil down on these unrepentant cities. The Apostle Peter, by the way, warns in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment. There's been an explosion of judgment back in those cities, and that's a foretaste of what Peter says is going to happen one day in the future. Well, David's doing the same thing here. He's delivering this warning. And in so doing, he's reminding you, if you're a believer, that when the foundations crumble, when people reject God and even persecute believers, well, the only suffering you as a believer will ever have is in this very brief lifetime. But the fire of judgment for the unbeliever will last forever. Think about it this way. The only heaven the unbeliever will ever experience is the best of earth. The only hell the believer will ever experience is the worst of earth. Now, fifth, David ends here by telling us that God is totally delighted in his beloved. He writes here in verse 7, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. Now, let me say quickly, the upright aren't perfect people. They happen to be forgiven people. Upright people are those who are right with God, and you get right with God through Jesus Christ. Present circumstances around you might be dark, but your future beloved, is unbelievably bright. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers these rather amazing words, "Thanks be to God who in Christ leads us in a triumphal procession." 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul is referring to the custom of a victorious Roman general back in his day arriving home to a celebration. The crowds would line the streets as the defeated army would be marched in front of this parade. And next, the victorious general would come in his chariot and his army is marching behind them. And all of the people that have massed there on the sides of the streets would be chanting, "Victory, victory, victory," over and over again. It was the custom back in that day for people to wave censers filled with special incense. The streets of Rome would literally be filled with the aroma of victory. Now, with that in mind, I want you to listen again to what Paul said. "Thanks be to God who in Christ leads us in triumphal procession and through us," Paul says later, "spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ everywhere." What do you do when the foundations are destroyed? Well, you look to God for your security. His hand is underneath the crumbling foundations of culture and state and kingdoms and world events. He's in charge. His throne is undisturbed. He reigns over even the chaos of our world. And one day, Psalm 11 closes by saying this, "The upright shall behold his face." Oh, that's repeated in the New Testament. One day we're going to see him, and we're going to see him face to face. So when the foundations crumble, it's not so much what you do. It's more of where you look. Look to him. Trust him and sing to him like never before. Until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey and a lesson he called "How to Respond When the Foundations Are Removed." Stephen is teaching through the entire Bible on this wisdom journey. If you'd like to go back and listen to any of the previous lessons, we've posted all of them on our website, which is wisdomonline.org. In addition, you can access all of the sermons that Stephen delivered to the church he pastors. Stephen will continue through the Psalms next time here on The Wisdom Journey.